Greetings, this is Pastor Jeff Riddle of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. This is an occasional series of readings from and brief notes and commentary upon Eusebius of Caesarea's The Ecclesiastical History. In this series, I am reading consecutively through the 10 books of the Ecclesiastical History, chapter by chapter, and at the end of each chapter's reading, I will offer a few brief notes and commentary. The translation I'll be using for Book 1 is that found in the Loeb Classical Library, Eusebius Ecclesiastical History, Volume 1, Books 1 through 5, translated by Kearsop Lake in 1926. So here is Book 1 and Chapter 1 of Eusebius's Ecclesiastical History. I have purposed to record in writing the successions of the sacred apostles, covering the period stretching from our Savior to ourselves. The number and character of the transactions recorded in the history of the Church, the number of those who were distinguished in her government and leadership in the provinces of greatest fame, the number of those who in each generation were the ambassadors of the Word of God, either by speech or pen, the names, the number, and the age of those who, driven by the desire of innovation to an extremity of error, have heralded themselves as the introducers of knowledge, falsely so called, ravaging the flock of Christ unsparingly, like grim wolves. To this I will add the fate which has beset the whole nation of the Jews from the moment of their plot against our Savior. Moreover, the number and nature and times of the wars waged by the heathen against the divine word, and the character of those who, for its sake, pass from time to time through the contests of blood and torture. Furthermore, the martyrdoms of our own time, and the gracious and favoring help of our Savior in them all. My starting point is therefore no other than the first dispensation of God touching our Savior and Lord, Jesus the Christ. Even at that point, the project at once demands the lenience of the kindly, for confessedly it is beyond our power to fulfill the promise, complete and perfect, since we are the first to enter on the undertaking, as travelers on some desolate and untrodden way. We pray God to give us His guidance, and that we may have the help of the power of the Lord, for nowhere can we find even the bare footsteps of men who have preceded us in the same path, unless it be those slight indications by which, in diverse ways, they have left to us partial accounts of the times through which they have passed, raising their voices as a man holds up a torch from afar, calling to us from on high as from a distant watchtower, and telling us how we may walk and how to guide the course of our work without error or danger. We have therefore collected from their scattered memoirs all that we think will be useful for the present subject, and have brought together the utterances of the ancient writers themselves that are appropriate to it, culling, as it were, the flowers of intellectual fields. We shall endeavor to give them unity by historical treatment, rejoicing to rescue the successions, if not of all, at least of the most distinguished of the apostles of our Savior, throughout those churches of which the fame is still remembered. To work at this subject, I consider especially necessary because I am not aware that any Christian writer has until now paid attention to this kind of writing, and I hope that its high value will be evident to those who are convinced of the importance of a knowledge of the history. I have already summarized the material in the chronological tables which I have drawn up, but nevertheless, in the present work, I have undertaken to give the narrative in full detail. I will begin with what, apprehended in relation to Christ, is beyond man in its height and greatness, the dispensation of God, and the ascription of divinity. For he who plans to hand on in writing the history of Christian origins is forced to begin from the first dispensation concerning the Christ himself, which is more divine than it seems to most, seeing that from him we claim to derive our very name. Here ends Book 1, Chapter 1 of Eusebius's The Ecclesiastical History. Now, some notes and commentary, and I just jotted down six observations about this first chapter. Number one, Eusebius introduces his work and sets out his plan to offer a survey from the period of the life of Christ up to what was his present time in the early 4th century. Second, he aims to describe the great leaders of early Christianity and the great churches. Third, he also aims to describe those who have promoted errors, and he makes reference to those who have put forward knowledge, falsely so-called, and one wonders if this is a reference in particular to Gnostics, those who put forward knowledge. Fourth, he also aims to describe opposition to the Christian movement, both from Jews and from Gentiles. Fifth, he notes that he is collecting material, historical sources, memoirs from the past. He talks about those who have held up the torch in the watchtower, and he's following their guidance, although he's walking a path that before has not been trod by anyone else. And then six, as noted, he is aware of the fact that he is what he believes to be the first Christian writer ever to attempt to take up this sort of task. And so he is self-consciously the father of church history, the title that is given to him later as being the originator of this whole concept of recording church history. So with those brief notes, commentaries, and observations, we'll end this entry on Book 1, Chapter 1.